Think back to the last major market crash. Did you feel like the world was ending, that this time was truly different? You weren't alone. Markets have a peculiar quality. They remember everything, but we forget almost instantly. This disconnect between market memory and human amnesia creates a predictable pattern of financial mistakes that repeats across generations. The most brilliant investors struggle to be right more than half the time, not because markets are impossibly complex, but because we're fighting our own faulty memories. Every panic feels unprecedented. Every recovery seems suspicious. Yet history shows that what we experience as shocking and new has happened dozens of times before. We've simply forgotten. Understanding this memory gap isn't just intellectually interesting. It's the difference between joining the elite few who consistently profit and the masses who perpetually buy high and sell low. This time, it's different. These four words have cost investors more money than any market crash or recession. After every crisis, we convince ourselves that the rules have fundamentally changed, that we've entered a new normal of permanently diminished expectations. In 2009, experts proclaimed that economic growth would never return to previous levels, that markets faced a decade of stagnation, that the financial system had irreversibly broken. Sound familiar? Identical predictions emerged in 2003, 1987, 1978, and even 1939. Each time, investors who believed these warnings missed extraordinary recoveries. From March 2009 through 2010, world stocks surged 93.3%, while doomsayers insisted the rally was false. Those who acted on new normal fears watched from the sidelines as corporate profits soared and GDP returned to all-time highs. The pattern is maddeningly consistent. We're essentially chittering chimpanzees with no memories, forgetting that human nature evolves slowly while market patterns repeat quickly. Markets price in widely known fears, leaving only the unexpected to move prices significantly. By the time everyone agrees the sky is falling, it's usually time to buy an umbrella company. After every recession, people complain. It may not technically be a recession anymore, but it sure feels like one. Unemployment continues rising even after economies officially recover, prompting headlines about another jobless recovery. This pattern repeats consistently. We've just forgotten. The explanation is straightforward. CEOs don't hire when sales stabilize. They've cut staff to bare bones and discovered productivity improvements. Even as sales grow, they wait, rebuilding cash reserves, using temps, ensuring recovery is sustainable. Only when convinced the upturn is real do they commit to permanent hiring. Here's the costly part. Waiting for unemployment to fall before investing means missing the best returns. Buying stocks 6 months before unemployment peaks yields returns twice as high as buying at the peak. Similarly, fears of double-dip recessions appear after every downturn, despite occurring in only 10% of cycles since 1854. Heard we're stuck in a secular bear market, a decade-long stagnation? This narrative appears after every major decline, yet actual decade-long bear markets don't exist historically. Bear markets typically don't last 2 years, while bull markets average 57 months. Average market returns almost never happen. Since 1926, truly average returns, 9 to 11%, occurred in just 3 years for U.S. stocks. The most common outcome? Returns exceeding 20%, happening in 37.6% of years. Bull markets don't behave averagely. The first year of a new bull market averages 46.6% returns, double the typical bull market year. Late-stage bear markets drive prices far below fundamental value through collapsing sentiment. When reversal comes, improving liquidity combines with reality that conditions aren't catastrophic, creating V-shaped recoveries. Yet headlines consistently warn markets have risen too far, too fast. The steeper the bear market decline, the sharper the subsequent bull market move. This isn't abnormal, this is normal. True market normality is wild variability, not smooth average returns. Nearly every year, someone claims markets are more volatile now than ever before. yet data shows no upward trend in volatility over decades. The most volatile year was 1932. Stocks fell 8.41%. Followed by 1933, stocks soared 54.4%. High volatility doesn't mean falling markets. It means bigger swings in both directions. Volatility isn't good or bad. It's simply the price of returns. Since 1958, when futures trading was banned, onion prices became wildly more volatile than oil, 211.4% versus 33.8% standard deviation. Speculators provide liquidity that stabilizes markets. Bernie Madoff's Ponzi scheme succeeded precisely because it promised market-like returns without volatility. Fictional 10% annual returns with minimal variation attracted victims for nearly two decades. High returns without volatility signal a trap, not opportunity. The 2000s contained multiple full cycles, major bear markets, and a five-year bull market delivering 161% global returns. If permabears dismiss 5 years of huge gains as a counter-trend rally within a secular bear, why aren't shorter bear markets just corrections within secular bulls? This reveals our cultural bias toward pessimism. Despite stocks rising vastly more than falling throughout history, we've never coined secular bull market. Our brains evolved to focus on danger over safety, explaining why perpetually bearish investors receive disproportionate media credibility despite being wrong far more often. Debt panic isn't new. Hyperbolic headlines about unsustainable borrowing date back to 1868, yet the world keeps growing wealthier. History reveals a surprising pattern. U.S. federal budget deficits have been good for stocks, while surpluses have been bad. Following deficit troughs, the S&P 500 returned an average of 20.1% after 12 months and 35.1% after 36 months. After surplus peaks, stocks returned just 1.3% and 7.1%, respectively. When governments run deficits, borrowed money changes hands approximately six times in the first year, creating economic velocity. U.S. debt levels remain well below WW2 peaks, and the high debt 1950s saw economic boom. The U.K. maintained debt above 100% of GDP for nearly a century, 1750-1850, while remaining the world's dominant economy. What matters is debt affordability, not absolute levels. Currently, U.S. federal debt interest payments are just above 2% of GDP, half what they were during the prosperous 1980s-90s. Category loyalty in investing proves equally misguided. No equity category is inherently superior. Each has periods of outperformance and underperformance as investment bankers flood hot categories with new supply until prices collapse. Neither party significantly outperforms long-term. Republicans averaged 9.3% annual returns versus Democrats 14.5% since 1926. But removing Great Depression volatility narrows this gap considerably. The real pattern emerges in presidential term timing. Years 3 and 4 deliver substantially higher returns, 19.4% and 10.9%, than years 1 and 2, 8.1% and 9.0%. This stems from legislative risk aversion. Legislation redistributes rights or money, and humans hate losses more than twice as much as they value gains. Early terms see more legislative activity and higher risk aversion, while later years see decreased risk as presidents focus on re-election. Political cycles affect markets globally, often more dramatically than in the U.S. China deliberately slows growth before elections, then applies heavy stimulus during election years, with GDP growing 0.9% faster than average. Despite claims about our increasingly global world, interconnection isn't new. Economic data from 1790 shows business cycles moving largely in sync. U.S. and non-U.S. developed markets typically move together, with remarkably similar long-term returns, foreign stocks at 9.4% versus U.S. at 10.0%. The 1929 crash was entirely global, with London and Berlin markets peaking first in 1928. Most Americans view the Great Depression as domestic, but it was worldwide, triggered by Smoot-Hawley tariffs that collapsed global trade by two-thirds.
We naturally believe recent winners are safer, a cognitive bias fueling every bubble from tulip mania to cryptocurrency frenzies. Markets are collective human behavior, and human nature changes glacially while our memories fade instantly. Every panic you feel has been felt before. Every unprecedented crisis has precedent. The investors who win aren't smarter. They simply remember what everyone else forgets. They know this time it's different are the four most expensive words in finance. The best time to buy is when it feels worst. The time for caution is when everyone feels safe. Your edge isn't complex algorithms. It's studying history while others ignore it, staying calm while others panic, and remembering that markets forget nothing. You will face another crisis that feels unprecedented. The question is whether you'll remember others felt exactly the same way before. And what happened next?